It is Sunday, April 30th, 2017. Welcome to Sunday View with me, Richie Allen. This is a recorded Sunday View, halfway through the live Sunday View. The computer recording it and streaming it crashed inexplicably, so I've had to start it all over again and record it. So you're very welcome to it anyway. These things are sent to try us, but try us they will not. Great to be chatting with you. We can't interact on social media, of course. It's a recording. But thanks for tuning into the programme. Hope you're enjoying your bank holiday weekend. Let's just get on with it. There is a lot to talk about.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com.
Lots to talk about today. The UK Prime Minister Theresa May has been on the Andrew Marr BBC One news programme talking about lots. We'll talk about that shortly. Tim Farron, Lib Dem leader, has been on there as well. Donald Trump didn't attend the White House Correspondents' Dinner. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the McCanns. Kate and Jerry McCann have given an interview to the BBC's Fiona Bruce as the 10th anniversary of the disappearance of their daughter approaches. Madeleine McCann, Praia de Luz, 3rd of May 2007. Lot to talk about there as well. And we might talk about some of the more nefarious characters who fundraise in the independent media. If we have time, we'll do that as well. This is your Sunday View, broadcasting live. Well, it would have been. It was, I should say, broadcasting on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, and of course my own website as well. We'll get the stream sorted out and we'll put it on the stream a bit later as well. Right now, though, you're on the podcast or you're on the YouTube channel. Thanks for doing that. Right, let's get on with it. Now, I want to say a big belated happy birthday to my friend and colleague David Icke, who celebrated his 65th birthday yesterday. Terrific stuff. One or two of you old wags, you old scallywags, have been tweeting and Facebook talking about whether or not David will claim his bus pass. Apparently, when you turn 65 in this country, you don't have to pay for your local buses. I don't know. I'll ask him next time I'm talking with him. But I don't see it somehow. Happy birthday, belated birthday, David. He was speaking in Belgrade yesterday on his birthday. It was a bit of a stressful time for the production team and the organisers of the Worldwide Wake Up event in Belgrade, because he was booked to speak in a conference centre owned by the Serbian government. But the day before the event, it was cancelled inexplicably. That's disgraceful. But the organisers and the producers managed to get another venue at the 11th hour. I think it might have had something to do with the fact that the national media in Serbia and in neighbouring Bosnia had been reporting positively on David and David's work. I think that played a big part in the last minute cancellation. He did some television interviews with national TV. Those interviews were respectful. Those broadcasters were very interested in what he had to say. I think that had something to do with the cancellation. However, congratulations to the organisers, to the producer Jamie Icke, and to everybody else for getting it on. For more information on the Worldwide Wake Up Tour and where it goes in 2017 and 2018, go to theworldwidewakeup.com. As I mentioned, there's a lot about the McCanns in today's press as the 10th anniversary of the disappearance of their daughter looms. It's May 3rd. I'll bring you some of that a little bit later. It is interesting, to say the least. So let's go straight to the national broadsheet, newspapers and the tabloids for the headlines this Sunday, April 30th. The Sunday Observer headline screams, EU tells May give our citizens their rights or no trade talks. We've covered that so much lately, I'm not going to get into it. Nearly 3 million people from Europe live here. 1.2 million people from the UK live in Europe. I've said this a lot, it should be a non-issue. Sunday Telegraph, Same story, the headline, May rejects Brussels demands. Theresa May has dismissed a series of hardline Brexit demands from Brussels as politicians on both sides of the channel warned that the talks could turn nasty. The Prime Minister said requests formally agreed by EU leaders were simply a negotiating position. May herself insisted she was sticking to her own demands, which were outlined in a speech earlier this year. She wants tariff-free trade, ending the jurisdiction of European courts and stopping free movement of migrants. When asked about mounting fears that the UK would be bullied by Brussels, May said no. That's not going to happen, and that if voters put her back into power, she would secure a good deal. Now, you might not know, you might know. Yesterday, Saturday, the EU's 27 countries formally agreed guidelines for the forthcoming Brexit talks. So the EU's 27 other member states met yesterday to agree guidelines for the forthcoming Brexit talks. They want a Brexit bill to be paid by the UK of £50 billion before any talk of a trade deal. They also want a deal on EU citizens' rights in the UK, and they said that no deal would be agreed on EU citizens' rights unless Theresa May accepted that the European Court of Justice would decide disputes. That's the Sunday Telegraph. There's also a very interesting story on the front page of the Sunday Telegraph. Very interesting story. One that alleges that up to 30,000 child abusers might be getting away with it because police are focusing too much on historic claims. That's a very serious story. Very serious story. We know why the newspapers and we know why certain journalists are alleging this, right? I'm going to come back to that if I have time later on. I might not have, so we'll get into it on the live show on Tuesday. Have no doubt about that. Imagine that. Because of the investigation into historic claims, that is letting child abusers who are committing crimes now get away with it. Who's got a vested interest in the historic claims being, well, put to one side and not investigated? Think hard about that. The Sunday Times: May is living in another galaxy, says Brussels. That's the headline. May is living in another galaxy, says Brussels. EU takes the gloves off as the Brexit battle begins. More of the same. There's a lot of this in all of the papers today. The Sunday Mail, though, deviates a bit. It talks about Theresa May, but on domestic issues. The Sunday Mail headline is, Theresa, I'll wage war on pensions cowboys. Theresa May has vowed to bring in tough new laws to prevent a repeat of the Sir Philip Green BHS pension scandal if she wins the election. This is all about irresponsible bosses who make millions while the company pension schemes go bankrupt. They'd even call this the anti-Philip Green charter. Philip Green sold BHS, big high street chain, you'll remember, for £1. And a year after he sold it, it went broke with a £570 million pensions deficit. What a criminal. Now, there was a public outcry. There were demands to strip him of his knighthood. He apologised and offered £363 million to cover the loss. But he sold the company to a guy who had been bankrupt not once, not twice, but thrice. Pissed off into the Caribbean on his yacht and basically screwed his employees. Eventually, they were made redundant, 11,000 jobs lost, and the pension commitments were not honoured to the 19,000 former employees. May is going to say in the manifesto that the pensions regulator will get more powers to stop this happening, to stop unscrupulous bosses selling failing companies that they've taken massive dividends out of at the expense of the company's pension fund. What a lowlife Philip Green is. What a dirtbag. And of course he got away with it because of Margaret Thatcher and Tony Blair. Margaret Thatcher and baby Thatcher. Big issue, that serious issue, covered in the Sunday Mail today. The Sunday Express says that they have a world exclusive. Their headline is, Maddie prime suspect is a woman. This is Madeleine McCann. They're saying the prime suspect is a woman. The Sunday Mirror headline is I still buy birthday presents for when we find Maddie. More on that a little bit later on in this programme. So to Theresa May then, in all the papers, Brexit, the EU and the negotiations. Theresa May was on the Andrew Marr show earlier on and she commented on the EU meeting yesterday. The EU meeting took place yesterday where the EU countries said that these were the terms, these were the guidelines on which they wanted to negotiate. This is what Theresa May said to Andrew Marr earlier.
I think what this shows and what some of the other comments we've seen coming from European leaders shows is that there are going to be times when these negotiations are going to be tough. And that's why you need strong and stable leadership in order to conduct those negotiations and get the best deal for Britain. I'm confident we can get a deal. You see, the Trade Commissioner, Cecilia Malmström, has been very clear that she thinks we will get a trade deal.
But we've also seen the 27 standing absolutely shoulder to shoulder on the question of wanting a deal on money before they will even talk to us about trade and other issues. And they made that very, very clear this weekend. And then the Luxembourg Prime Minister is talking about between 40 and 60 billion pounds worth of deal to be sorted out. Can I put it to you that if you win this election, if you get a big majority, the first thing that you will do is go over there and sign the cheque?
No, what they're very clear about is, yes, they do want to start some discussions about money. I'm very clear that at the end of the negotiations, we need to be clear not just about the Brexit arrangement, the exit, how we withdraw, but also what our future relationship is going to be. These negotiations are going to be tough.
Are you prepared to agree on the money before you agree on everything else?
I want to ensure that we agree on a trade deal and our withdrawal arrangements so that we know what both of those are when we leave the European Union.
But they are saying you must agree the money first.
If you look at what is being said in the guidelines, they say that they want to start the discussions on a number of issues. There are things that we absolutely agree on should be early in those discussions. The position of EU citizens living here in the UK and the position of UK citizens living in those 27 European countries.
So what about the EU citizens here and the UK citizens in Spain, France, Germany and everywhere else?
I believe that as the United Kingdom Prime Minister, it's important that I have a care for UK citizens who are currently living in the 27 countries, remaining countries of the European Union. Mm. That's why I say I think this is about reciprocity. I think it is about us. I want to be able to guarantee EU citizens living here their rights and their status. But I think it's important that we ensure that UK citizens living in Europe have their rights and status guaranteed as well. There is goodwill there. I think this is an important point. If you look at my Article 50 letter, the letter that triggered Article 50, I was very clear that I believe the rights of EU citizens here and UK citizens in Europe should be an early discussion, should be an early agreement for point of agreement for us. And if you look at the guidelines, that's exactly what the EU has, the 27 have agreed as well.
Now, it's a non-issue. Andrew Marr, if he was doing his job, would have said, well, you don't want to commit because it's an ace card for you, Prime Minister, seeing as there are 3 million EU citizens here while only 1.2 million abroad, UK abroad, that is. Right? Fair enough. He could have done his job there, made the point it's a non-issue. But if it does become an issue, the UK are in a stronger position. Now, to be fair to Andrew Marr, and I always will be fair, it's a long interview. It's like 16 to 18 minutes long. It's on the BBC iPlayer if you want to hear all of it. I don't have time, or I didn't have time today, to chop it all up and to get all the sound bites out of it, because she did... she was asked by Marr about food banks, about taxation disparity, austerity. Like I said, I don't have time to play all of it. Her answers were the same, though. You know, benefits have to be reformed. Who's going to pay? It's unfair on working people. We want to get people back into work. We don't want people depending on benefits. People are living longer and all of that. Now, Marr challenged none of it. Other than to say that it looks like the austerity policies of the Conservative government will continue in the aftermath of a victory this coming June 8th. Well, that's of course what's going to happen. I made the point earlier on, I'll make it again. Andrew Marr, like many broadcasters, not aware of the fact that Theresa May is way down the pecking order, way down the trough of the power structure of this cabal, way down. Her boss and her boss's boss and her boss's 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 boss. They're the ones behind the Agenda 21, Agenda 30 depopulation programme to make us, to make it impossible to own property, to make it more and more difficult to survive in what David has labelled the Hunger Games society. Marr didn't get into any of that, of course, and he didn't ask her about evidence that people with disabilities who have lost their essential benefits have been committing suicide. Statistics are out to back that up. He didn't get into any of that, of course. Now, the Lib Dem leader, Tim Farron, was on the same show. He is running on the ridiculous platform of basically telling people that Theresa May will win and she will have a majority. Make us, the Lib Dems, the main opposition party, and we'll oppose hard Brexit. He's a bit of a clown, is Tim Farron. To confirm his clown-like status, he admitted meeting with Tony Blair, of all people, seeking his advice on how to win elections. Forgetting the fact that Blair murdered 3 million people, he won elections, right? So we should talk with him.
Today that you've been talking to Tony Blair about this, can you tell us anything about the conversation and whether there is some prospect from your point of view of a major realignment after this election?
Well, I mean, several months ago I met with Tony Blair at his request. I thought it was only courteous to do so. I have many very, very clearly on the record disagreements with Tony Blair, not least over the illegal and counterproductive war in Iraq. But I do admire Tony Blair for one thing in particular, and that is his ability to put together a small-C coalition that was able to win a general election and defeat the Conservatives in 1997. I admire progressives, and he is broadly, I guess, a progressive. I admire progressives who are able to win elections, because if you cannot win, then you cannot change people's lives. The NHS is in danger as long as progressives cannot win, and that's why it's important that we do.
Can I come back to my original question, which is, do you see, therefore, beyond this election, some major realignment in British politics?
Well, I'm focusing on this election. And let's remember where the progressive forces are at the moment, if you want to call them that. Everybody knows that the SNP can only gain one seat off the Tories. That's all they've got mathematically available to them, unless there is a, you know, an aggressive foreign policy coming from Nicola Sturgeon.
And he goes on in a long-winded, nonsensical speech about how the Lib Dems can get those seats. Tony Blair is a progressive. I have disagreements with him on the illegal war, but he's won elections. He's a progressive. All of these people are unashamed, unapologetic Rothschild Zionists. Every single one of them. No sane, decent, compassionate, caring individual would have anything to do with the evil, maniacal, murdering Tony Blair, let alone mention his name. These are not ordinary people. I'm going to leave that. I'm going to take a very quick break. When we're back, we'll talk about Donald Trump. He didn't attend the annual White House Correspondents' Dinner yesterday. We'll talk about that and why that's important and more besides as well on Sunday View with me, Richie Allen, in association with davidicke.com.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not being seen by the doctor or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill
children now, because that's what they do.
Traffic 2, available now at premilitonpictures.co.uk.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch, this is The Richie Allen Show, in association with davidicke.com.
Welcome back to Sunday View. Check out the worldwidewakeup.com, davidicke.com/headlines, and do bookmark richieallen.co.uk. So there's a lot of talk about the McCanns, which we'll talk about shortly, and Brexit in the Sunday newspapers. They're also talking about Donald Trump. Now, Trump didn't attend the annual White House Correspondents' Dinner yesterday, where the president eats and drinks with the press and shares a few gags, has a few laughs, and gets the mickey taken out of him. Trump held a rally in Pennsylvania to mark the first 100 days of his presidency, and this is him.
There's another big gathering taking place tonight in Washington, D.C. Did you hear about it? And I could not possibly be more thrilled than to be more than 100 miles away from Washington Swamp.
What?
Spending my evening with all of you and with a much, much larger crowd and much better people, right? Right?
Ah, he's brilliant, isn't he? Washington Swamp, eh? Trump has put so many neocons, Zionists, bankers, Goldman Sachs employees, Rothschilds in the swamp that they're dredging the swamp to make more room. Right? That's all he's done in 100 days, apart from pausing to bomb Syria and to threaten North Korea. Right? Oh, it's great to get out of Washington swamp, says the man responsible for filling it to the point where it's overflowing. Unbelievable. I suppose it says a lot about the massive ego of the man, the fragile mindset of the man, that he couldn't sit with the press and take a few hits. He did, though, take another opportunity to have a pop at the fake news.
Media outlets like CNN and MSNBC are fake news. Fake news. And they're sitting and they're wishing. In Washington, they're watching right now, they're watching, and they would love to be with us right here tonight. But they're trapped at the dinner, which will be very, very boring. But next year, maybe we'll make it more exciting for them.
Ah, yeah. This is a brave new world, you see. I am your president, and I can say anything I want. I can make any claim, like as sad as a madman killing children, Ivanka told me. North Korea wants to kill us all. I'm the most popular president ever. And when a reporter challenges any of that, I won't speak to him or her. I will label them fake news. Dangerous. Fascism. Right there. Authoritarianism. Authoritarian in the extreme. And tempting as it has been for so many of you to laugh because of the behaviour of CNN, NBC and the rest over the years, the temptation to think they're getting their comeuppance, it's not good. For reasons I've gone into in programmes I've made which are on YouTube, it is not good. It is untenable that any president, any prime minister can behave like that and speak about the media in those terms. Now, the media has been all over the dinner, as I said. Here's The Daily Show's Hassan Minhaj on Trump's late night tweeting. This is worth a giggle or two. And we'll move on after this.
I love that everybody's drinking, having a good time. This is beautiful. You know Donald Trump doesn't drink, right? Does not touch alcohol, which is oddly respectable. But think about that. That means every statement, every interview, every tweet, completely sober. How is that possible? We've all had that excuse, haven't we? Be like, I said what? No, listen, babe, I swear to you, I was hammered. That's not who I really am. What does Donald Trump tell Melania? Listen, babe, last year on that bus with Billy Bush, that's exactly who I am. He tweets at 3 a.m. sober. Who is tweeting at 3 a.m. sober? Donald Trump, because it's 10 a.m. in Russia. Those are business hours.
All harmless fun. Daily Show correspondent there, Hasan Minhaj, at the correspondence dinner Trump didn't attend. You are with the Richie Allen Sunday View Show, broadcasting today on podcast and on YouTube, ordinarily live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio, TuneIn Radio, and my own website. But a little bit of a problem, had to start again and record only, but that's okay. Let's talk about the other big news story today, that the McCanns, Kate and Jerry, have sat down with the BBC's Fiona Bruce, to mark the 10th anniversary of the disappearance of their daughter, even Madeleine. Now, she disappeared on May 3rd, 2007, in Praia da Luz in Portugal. I don't need to tell you about the circumstances around the disappearance of the child. You know all about it because it has received incredible media coverage in the 10 years since that very fateful night. Now, I'm going to play you a couple of clips from the interview with Fiona Bruce. And here's the first one. This is the McCanns, Jerry and Kate, speaking with Fiona Bruce on BBC Radio yesterday.
You know, there have been criticisms that the police shouldn't be spending so much money still, so many years on this case. What would you say to
that? I think some of that criticism is really quite unfair, actually, because I know it's a single missing child, but there are millions of British tourists that go to the Algarve year on year, and essentially you've got a British subject who's the subject of a crime, and there were other crimes that came to light following Madeleine's abduction that involved British tourists. So I think prosecuting it to a reasonable end is what you would expect. Whether,
but of course it doesn't happen. You know, there are, sadly, there are so many children that go missing, and the resources are not deployed on their cases. They have been on yours.
I think it's others within law enforcement have made it very clear this type of stranger abduction is exceptionally rare, actually, and we need to put it into perspective. And it's partly why Madeleine's case has attracted so much attention, thrown in with many other ingredients. But, you know, this type of abduction is exceptionally rare.
So Jerry McCann said that the criticisms of the money spent on the case and the time given to it are unfair because the case is very rare. And the case was also helpful in, you know, how other cases were dealt with and worked on subsequent to the disappearance of Madeleine. He said it's very rare. Now, Fiona Bruce then asked the McCanns about the persistent claims, mostly by the Portuguese detective who first headed up the case, the persistent claims that they were somehow involved in the disappearance of their daughter.
One of the police officers in Portugal has been a thorn in your side for many years. He was thrown off the investigation, but then he wrote a book. He presented a documentary presenting a view of what happened to Madeleine, which implicates you. And you fought it through the courts. Mm-hmm. At the moment, you've lost and he has won. Is this the end for you now? Are you going to continue to fight him?
Well, I think the short answer is we have to, because the last judgment, I think, is terrible. So we will be appealing. We haven't lodged that yet, but it will be going to the European courts. I think it's also important to say that when we lodged the action, it was 8 years ago, and the circumstances were very different, where we felt there was real damage being done to the search for Madeleine at that time, particularly in Portugal.
Well, because he was effectively suggesting that you were involved in the...
Yeah, I think, you know, what people really need to realise, though, is, and, you know, Assistant Commissioner Rowley has said it again this week, and the Portuguese have said it, and the final report have said it, is there's no evidence that Madeleine's dead. And the prosecutor said, you know, there's no evidence that we were involved in any crime. And really, that's... saying anything opposite isn't justice. It's not justice for Madeleine.
I find it all incomprehensible, to be honest, and it has been very upsetting, and it's caused a lot of frustration and anger, which is a real negative emotion, and I think we just need to channel that, and I just have to hope that in the long run that justice will prevail and all will be well.
So they reiterated, Kate and Jerry McCann, that they weren't involved in what happened to Madeleine. They said there's no evidence that she's even dead, and there's certainly no evidence of her involvement, and they would be appealing the Portuguese Supreme Court decision that went against them, you know, that allowed the Portuguese detective to make those claims against them. Now, what about the internet and the social media phenomenon even? The massive amount of speculation as to what happened to her and speculation about their involvement on the internet. Fiona Bruce put that question to the McCanns.
The other thing that struck me when I was looking through various internet search engines before I did this interview was quite how much cruel, distressing, horribly tasteless commentary there is out there about you, about Madeleine, people giving their opinions about what they think happened, though even though they don't know you, they were nowhere near, they can't possibly know. How do you deal with that?
Well, I think the whole social media, I mean, it's got huge pros but huge cons. And, I mean, on the downside and all that's been written, we protect ourselves, really. We don't go there, to be honest. We are aware of things that get said because people alert us to it. I guess our worry is for our children, really.
Because they're now 12, they're at an age where social media becomes increasingly important.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't want to dwell on, you know, the negative aspects too long, but I think in this era of fake news, it is extremely topical, and I think people just need to think twice before what they write and the effects it has on it. And certainly, I know ourselves with our own experience, both in the mainstream media and also on the internet, I'm not going to believe that until I see evidence of it convincing. And you know what? I'm sure there's a small, very small minority of people who spend their time doing it, but it's totally inhibited what we do. Personally, we don't use social media, though we have used it in Madeleine's campaign. But for our twins who are growing up in an era where mobile technology is used all the time, we don't want them not to be able to use it the same way that their peers do.
Now, the entire interview is on YouTube. You just have to put McCann's and it'll come up. It's a 24-minute interview with Fiona Bruce. So she touched on the claims there made by the Portuguese detective and the online speculation. Now, the Daily Record reported on Friday that the Portuguese detective in question, whose name is Gonçalo Amaral, he led the probe into the disappearance of Madeleine McCann at the time. He said it was tainted, the investigation was tainted, as soon as it was deemed an abduction. He also said that Portuguese prosecutors were intimidated by the United Kingdom. He says that Kate and Jerry McCann were given special treatment by British authorities because they were doctors. Now, he also refuted claims, did the former Portuguese detective. He refuted claims that his officers, their investigation was shoddy. He said interference from the UK hindered the progress of that. He still maintains, though, Gonçalo Amaral, that Kate and Jerry McCann were involved in the disappearance of their daughter, Madeleine. He also pointed the finger at the British class system. Now, this is in an interview which will be aired on Portuguese television tomorrow on CMTV. He pointed a finger at the British class system. He told the magazine Sabado, who filmed the interview, they, the McCanns, belong to the upper middle class, and the British do not like their doctors to mess up abroad and to get convicted for it. These are his opinions now, not mine or anybody else's. This is in the Daily Record today. From Friday. He was removed from the investigation, Gonçalo Amaral, after he criticised the British detectives, claiming that they tried to rush the process. He said, "It's not normal for an ambassador from a foreign country to come to the place to push in the sense that this has to be quick. If the ambassador and even the consul had not appeared, the investigation would have been directed to what is normal, to suspect those who have responsibility for the custody even of the child. Let me read that again. He said, if the ambassador and the consul had not appeared, the investigation would have been directed to what is normal, that is, to suspect those who have responsibility for the custody of the child. The judiciary, public prosecutor's office and the government felt intimidated by the United Kingdom. That's what he's maintaining. Now, I've no idea about what happened to Madeleine McCann. None. You have to be completely honest and fair as a journalist, as a presenter, when you do programmes like this. I haven't a clue what happened to that girl. I don't know why the detective is saying, what are you saying? I can't imagine it's because of any personal vendetta against the McCanns. I can't imagine that. But that's not to endorse what he's saying. Like I said, what the bloody hell do I know? I wasn't there. All I know is what I've read, what I've heard from the McCanns, what the British police have said, the media and the detectives. I don't know. But you must suspect something, Richie. How could I? I don't know. But the Metro newspaper published an extraordinary article yesterday. The headline of the article was, "The 48 questions Kate McCann didn't answer after Maddie's disappearance and the one she did." Previously unseen police files, writes the Metro, previously unseen police files have revealed the gruelling interrogation Kate McCann was put through after her daughter Maddie went missing in Portugal. The questioning, which took around 11 hours, gives an insight into the thought processes of detectives who worked or were working on the still unsolved case 10 years ago. And they list the questions that Kate McCann didn't answer and said no comment to, or I'm not going to answer, to the Portuguese detectives. The questions included questions like, at a certain point you stopped working, why? Are the twins difficult to get to sleep? Are they restless? Does that cause you uneasiness? Is it true that sometimes you despaired with your children's behaviour and that left you feeling very uneasy? Is it true that in England you even considered handing over Madeleine's custody to a relative? In England, did you medicate your children? What type of medication? In the case files, you were shown canine forensic testing films where you can see the marking due to detection of the scent of human corpse and blood traces, also human and only human, as well as the comments of the technician in charge of them. After watching and after the marking of the scent of corpse in your bedroom, beside the wardrobe and behind the sofa, pushed up against the sofa wall, did you say you couldn't explain any more than you already had? When the sniffer dog also marked human blood behind the sofa, did you say you couldn't explain any more than you already had? When the sniffer dog marked the scent of corpse coming from the vehicle you hired a month after the disappearance, did you say you couldn't explain any more than you already had? When human blood was marked in the boot of the vehicle, did you say you couldn't explain any more than you already had? When confronted with the results of Maddie's DNA, whose analysis was carried out in a British lab, collected from behind the sofa and the boot of the car, did you say you couldn't explain any more than you already had? Did you have any responsibility or intervention in your daughter's disappearance? And in the gruelling 11-hour interrogation, the questions I just read out there were, I think Kate McCann said no comment or declined to answer. So what does that mean? Does that mean that she's guilty? It doesn't. It might mean that Kate McCann is not stupid and she might have realised very quickly that she was a suspect and decided to assert her rights to silence. But I don't know. I haven't a clue. And every time a programme like this, because we're a very, very different and separate programme from the independent media, or most of it anyway. So every time we talk about something like this, people will come on and go, oh, you won't say, you won't tell the truth, you won't say this, you won't say that. I have no idea. No idea what happened to that girl. I would hate to think the parents had anything to do with it. I would hate to think that. I don't know. I repeat again and again and again and again, I don't know. Okay? The McCanns have always maintained they had nothing to do with it. The British police say unequivocally the McCanns had nothing to do with the disappearance of their daughter. The Portuguese detective says different, and any number of various commentators on the internet, most of whom have never met the McCanns, have never been to Praia da Luz, they have their opinions and they say what they want to say. I say it's a terrible thing. I have no idea what happened. This is Sunday View on the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. Thanks so much for choosing this programme. Now, Google is changing algorithms to stop fake news, they say. Really? Are they really trying to stop fake news? Or is it far more sinister than that? RT's The Resident programme is a very good programme. Here is The Resident's take on Google's new algorithms and on fake news.
And then Google says, we now live in a world where tens of thousands of pages are coming online every minute of every day, and that people are constantly coming up with more and more ways to game the system. And Google says the worst of that is the new phenomenon of fake news. They define that as content that is blatantly misleading, low quality, offensive, or downright false. And they say that problem has gotten so bad that now they really need to change their search algorithms. And now here's where it gets interesting. They say first, they're going to use something they call page quality raters or evaluators, who are real people who assess the quality of Google's search results and then give us feedback on our experiments. And they're writing guidelines for quality raters about what to look out for to flag in terms of misleading or offensive information. So, Google is enlisting people to start flagging pages as misleading or offensive. And that flagging will go into consideration for a web page's page ranking. Google also writes that they're now offering direct feedback tools to make it easier for people to directly flag autocomplete predictions and snippets. And they also write that they're updating their signals to help surface more authoritative pages and demote low-quality content. Again, not saying anything about the humans behind the guidelines for all of these determinations. But I'm sure we can all imagine, right? Google's gonna squash the stuff it doesn't like and promote the stuff it likes. In other words, Google is rolling out new ways for them to censor what you see on the internet when you're using their service. Now, you might be surprised by this or outraged over how big brothery the internet is becoming. But personally, I saw this coming after the first comment I ever got on YouTube. Yep, it was only a matter of time before the glory days of the internet would peter out. And thanks to steps like the ones Google just made, those glory days are numbered.
That's a terrific report by RT's The Resident. I need add nothing to that. We've seen this coming a mile down the road. It's Orwellian in the extreme. It's always been the plan to marginalise the voices of the many men and women who challenge establishment thinking and establishment absolutes, establishment, the establishment explanation of events. The establishment explanation of the events, establishment thinking. Anybody challenging that, this is how they are going to be marginalised. We're seeing it. We're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Ken O'Keefe back in a second. He's responded to the comments I made in Thursday's Richie Allen Show. It's the first time he's been heard from in over 6 months. He's made a direct reference to the World Citizen Scheme that he launched in November 2015. So I'm going to tell you what he said in case you don't know. I'll have a word on that, and we'll do that in a second after this very quick break on The Richie Allen Show, Sunday View on DavidIke.com, and today only podcast and YouTube.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
And everybody, welcome back to the programme on Thursday in a segment on Thursday's Richie Allen Show. I spoke about the fact that 6.5 months, well, 6 months really, after his shambolic appearance on this programme, Ken O'Keefe, the founder, the manager, the director, whatever you want to call him, of the One World Citizen scheme, hadn't been responding to correspondence from many of those who had donated to him, people who had donated to him through the winter of 2015 into 2016. He garnered garnished from people somewhere approaching $115,000, maybe $120,000. I also pointed out that he was in London and he'd been seen by friends of this programme who were alarmed at the fact that he was asking people for money in return for a piece of paper for the disgraceful pyramid scheme, Ponzi scheme. You can call it anything you want, that he ran. O'Keefe lives in Dominica these days. He says he returned to London for his son's birthday. That might very well be true. And we don't go there. We don't do that. We don't attack families. We don't bring families into any of this sort of stuff. We don't do that at all. And if that's why he was there, good luck to him. But he's not been responding to people who are asking him, where's the silver coin you promised me when I donated money? Where's the project? What's happened to it? When are you going to exempt people from paying taxes and save the world? I called him a psychopath. I called him a fraud. I called him other things as well. I thought he might bite, and he did. And I'm going to read you what he said in a post to his followers on, I don't know whether it was Friday, could have been Friday, could have been Saturday, might have been Friday, doesn't really matter. I'm going to read you some of this, and then I'm going to pick up on one or two of the things that he said, which are very, very interesting. He said in his post, he said, I'm so happy to promote big time Richie Allen, the social justice alt-media hero of the ages. Here he is, setting the record straight on yours truly. Please share far and wide. I want Richie to get full credit for identifying me as a thief, fraudster, and, hold on, who would have thought it, a psychopath. Journalism in the modern era knows no better representative in the truly fake news age we live in than good old Richie Allen. There are so many lies in this rant is that I do not have time to address them, nor do I feel the need to, as they are nothing but hearsay. Aside from that, when World Citizen launches, we shall see. What I will say, however, is that yesterday was my youngest boy's 6th birthday, the very day Richie made this rant. That is why I'm in London for a short visit. I know many will not believe me, but I was hoping he and Max Egan would carry on with their insane, unsupported hearsay lies that have zero evidence to support them. I want them to get full credit for their position, and that is why I am posting this link and asking everyone to watch the video from about 47 minutes in to the end. It is simply priceless. And if you get people in your friend list spreading this bile as if it were true, beware, writes Ken. Ken goes on to write, as for the World Citizen mission, it is delayed, but beautiful and more powerful than ever. and I cannot wait to launch it and just sit back and let this play out with truth and justice taking full force. TJP. And then he finishes, P.S. before Richie's rant on me, he does some serious Jewish ass-kissing as well. Worth a listen, and says everything about who he is serving at this point. Wow. Wow. So, I'm going to address a couple of the points there. I did this yesterday on Facebook. Facebook algorithms prevent most of our friends and our followers from actually reading what it is that we post. I'm going to take it up here. 6 months of silence after being exposed and destroyed on this programme. O'Keefe came out of hiding. That's what happened. He said in his rant, he said there are so many lies in the rant that in Richie's rant, that I don't have time to address them, nor do I feel the need to, as they are nothing but hearsay. Aside from that, when it launches, World Citizen, we shall see. Now, Kenneth had 6 months to provide answers to his donors. He's ignored them. He's ignored them, demanding transparency. He's had the money, nearly 120 grand, for the best part of a year and 3 months. Is it a year and 4 months, whatever it is? But Ken doesn't have the time, nor does he feel obliged to explain himself to you. Who the hell are you? Right? Think about that. Think about that. He then talks about his boy's birthday. That's all very fair. That's all very well and good. And he wanted me and Max to continue with the insane unsupported hearsay. He wanted us to do that so much that he's kept silent for 6 months. He would have said nothing about the One World Citizen mission were it not for this programme calling him out on Thursday. Nothing to say to his donors. Nothing. How is Ken travelling the world? What money is he using? How can he afford it? He doesn't work for anybody. Told me on this programme he was broke. He didn't have any money. He begged a man to help secure land for him in Dominica. When the man denied him the bridging loan, Ken resorted to doing what Ken does, to abuse him, to ridicule him and to call him names. So how is Ken travelling around the world? Who's paying for the trips? I believe his donors have the right to know that information. See, we proved this was a pyramid scheme. I spoke to the lawyer, Dobler, who gave Ken his worthless opinion. I spoke with the man. The man said he wouldn't recommend anybody basically stop paying income taxes, even if they feel it's justified. Anything is possible in a court of law, he said, but he wouldn't recommend it. O'Keefe gave him several $1,000s for that opinion. Just think about that. Ken O'Keefe wants you to send him money. He'll help you exempt yourself from income tax. He'll change the world. Now, he wrote on Facebook on Thursday or Friday, I think it was Friday, as for the World Citizen Mission, it is delayed, but beautiful and more powerful than ever, and I cannot wait to launch it. If it is delayed, why the fuck then didn't the monumental liar, psychopath and fraud explain that to the people who gave him nearly $120,000? Why not, Ken? Why aren't you telling those who donated to you why it's delayed? Why is it delayed, Ken? You've had the money since the turn of the year, 2015, 2016. January, February last year, you've had nearly $120,000. Why is the delay? What's the delay all about in changing the world? But it's going to be bigger and more beautiful. Is it? Explain how it's going to be bigger and more beautiful, Ken. Please tell us. We'd love to know. Truth and justice taking full force. The mythologisation, there isn't such a word. The mythologising of people like Ken O'Keefe, of their own importance in the world, their own importance to change and to justice and to truth. 18 months. And when he took that money in, he never appointed a CPA, never appointed one, to account for the money. His team labelled him a fraud. Samantha Bachman, Max Egan, others said he was a fraud and walked away and embarrassed him. He tried to claim that he fired them, but the email trail buried him as a liar. It's what he is. It took me calling him out on Friday for him to lose his temper and surface. How embarrassing, how shameful, how disgraceful is that? He hasn't responded to a single donor. And we have copies of messages and emails, as I said, sent to him over the last 6 months since he came on this programme, asking him for transparency. Some of them are pitiful letters, begging him, please, Ken, why? What have you done? Tell me you haven't gone to Dominica to shack up with a young woman and are spending your money, please. No, I'm not saying O'Keefe is doing that. I have no idea what he's done with the money. We know it's a pyramid scheme. Like I said on Facebook yesterday, his entire backstory, from his name to all the experiences he claims to have had, are a fraud and corroborated by nobody. Couple of questions for him, and it is truthfully the last time I'm ever going to deal with this. I dealt with this on Thursday because I'd been told he was begging people for money at a activist meeting on Wednesday or Thursday last week. It would have been Tuesday or Wednesday, whichever day it was, in Soho. The only reason I brought this guy back into the mix again was because I'd been informed he'd been begging people for money. From this day forward, I don't want to know anything about him. People are stupid enough to give idiots like Ken O'Keefe money. Frauds. For him to basically fund his lifestyle. Well, then you deserve whatever you get. Hopefully he'll never get away with it again. Hopefully people will see through him. And anybody else dreams up these harebrained pyramid schemes. Give me all your money. Wonderful project. Can't share the strategy with you just yet. I'd have to be an idiot to share the strategy with you. Well, you'd have to be an idiot to hand over $50 or $100 or $200 to a guy who says, I'll exempt you from taxation, legally, if you send me your money. A liar, a fraud, a fantasist. That's all he is. That's all he was. And I'm going to say this, and I said this on Facebook. Google, trade for aid, Tahrir for Gaza, ferry to Gaza, Aloha Palestine, and the Samouni Project. Google them. What will you find? What you will find is that on pretty much every one of those projects, the people who worked with O'Keefe left him, throwing accusations at him, left, right and centre. And on his own blog, you can see the same story over and over again. They are subversives. They are agents of Mossad. They are working for the system. They are shills. This is Ken. He's an embarrassment to the independent media. If you were suckered by him, I'm sorry for you. Don't let it happen again. I'm done with him, and I'm done with this programme. Thanks for listening to Sunday View, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. I did mention, by the way, as well, if O'Keefe feels that I've libelled him, he should instruct the barrister, shouldn't he? Please do, Ken. I'd love that. I'm leaving you and loving you as ass. Thanks for listening to the programme. I'll see you live on Tuesday at 7 p.m. BST for the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. Until then, look after yourselves and one another.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com.